Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
So this morning's lectionary readings, if you heard Dan when he was reading, this was a lectionary reading, and it was a farewell in a letter. It was a farewell from Paul. And so you've got this. And then this is the gospel lectionary reading, which is kind of neat because I've probably used this passage for devotions and newsletter stuff and teaching more than any other passage for that sort of thing, because I think it's so central to what we're supposed to do as a church and who we're supposed to be as a church. In fact, it's so central, it was a big part of, as this came together for our mission statements, go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to do and who we're called to be. And so this is a passage that I turn to a lot. So it's interesting. It's an interesting coincidence, if you believe in coincidences, that these lectionary readings came up on this, my last sermon with you. Kind of a cool thing. And we get this command from Jesus to go and make disciples. And today I really want to think about the word go in that. Because with the word go, it implies that we're to be out on some sort of adventure, at least in the way we live our lives. And that sort of thing takes us outside of our comfort zone and leads us to all sorts of uncomfortable, exciting, and challenging journeys. When we're called to go, we're called to step out and to step out of those areas where we're comfortable or where it feels okay. And God and I have had conversations about this, but God seems to hold where He's at on that we're called to go. And it's to leave our comfort zones. I've told you before, I really believe this and feel this. I kind of wish God would look at me and say, you know what, Andy, I think really we've done better than I thought we would, and you can just kind of coast the rest of the way here. I mean, just kind of, you know, leave me be. But God loves us too much to do that. And not only that, but God's called us to a mission because God loves the world too much to just leave us be. And so I've had times of going in my life. I remember moving from Kentucky up to Diamonddale. It was for our first appointment, Diamonddale and Grovenburg, and moving. So it was like this, you work through seminary and there's all this excitement and stuff, but it was still sad to leave friends in that period of life. And we're packing stuff together. We had a lot of fish then. We had a 90-gallon, a 60-gallon, a 40-gallon, a couple other small tanks with fish in them. And so we had, over 20, 30 fish, something like that in there. And one of the fish was a fish named Jill. It was a male. Because I didn't know what it was when I first got it. And it was like a 14-inch long fish called a red devil. And you couldn't have that fish in with other fish or it would eat them all. So we had to have, we moved this. So they load up the loading van. And then we've got Ann's parents' conversion van that we had packed full of aquariums and bases for aquariums and tops for aquariums and then like buckets with water with the fish in the water. And I'm sitting in the second row of seats with these buckets of water. And we had our cat, Kitty, and Kitty wasn't used to traveling, and Kitty was in a cat carrier. But since she wasn't used to traveling, Anna had taken her to the vet, and the vet said, well, she needs to have a tranquilizer. But she's a small cat, so give her half a tranquilizer. So she gave her half a tranquilizer. You know, you give a cat a tranquilizer, and it's so much fun to just jam it down her throat, get that in, and she thinks she's okay. Slam her in the cat carrier, lock it up, get everything going, you know, cry a few tears, back out, and we got a later start than we wanted, and we started to roll with all full of water and cats and fish and aquariums, glass. So as we're driving, the neat thing about this conversion van, probably most vans, is the front wheel acts as kind of the fulcrum, and then the back is the lever. So every single bump you hit, you're flying up in the air. There's water and fish splashing everywhere. I'm trying to keep in the buckets. Meanwhile, Kitty, it turns out, needed more than half a tranquilizer. She had enough to kind of make her drunk, but not enough to knock her out. So it's bump, splash, and it's just like, and we're driving, and it's going awesome, you know, and like going up, and we have to stop at a rest area because we don't want Kitty to crap in the cat carrier, so we like take her out, but she's so drunk, she's walking like this, as she's going along the thing, we've got her on a leash trying to pull her over, and it was just An amazing trip, and we rolled into Diamonddale at 4 in the morning. 4 in the morning, and we were like, oh my gosh, well, we're not going to sleep, so we just started unpacking and kind of loading things up. And I'll say this, some adventures that you go on are so much better to look back on than they are to go through, aren't they? But we're called to go. We're called to go. And the challenging thing about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus calls us to go and make disciples. And in fact, a lot of Jesus' teaching and a lot of Jesus' message to us is a word that challenges us and pushes us and moves us out of our comfort zone, because we're called to be part of God's mission, which means our comfort is not God's top priority. It's kind of a rough thing, right? But my comfort is not God's top priority. We've got to accept that. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. In fact, you could say God's own comfort is not God's top priority. That God is after people, loves people, wants to save people. So I want to look at this text. We see causation, command, and comfort. And so as we look at this, I'll have Pat put up the slide. You remember that Jesus had just, He had been raised from the dead, and then He comes and He meets the disciples, and He makes a statement, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." All authority in heaven and on earth, that's all authority, that covers everything, has been given to Me. So He's got authority, and then He says, therefore. Therefore shows that in this passage there's causation. So the one statement causes what happens in the next one. So the causation behind this is that Jesus has all authority. Which means for us, if you recognize Jesus as Lord, you have to recognize that He has the authority to be able to speak things into your life and to be able to speak challenging things into your life. This authority causes what comes next. Therefore, and then you have the effect. Therefore, the effect is the command. So we have the causation causes us to hear this command. The command is go and make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus has commanded us. Go and make disciples. So the cause is the authority. The effect is this command. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you have to recognize this, and that cause and effect relationship means that if Jesus is Lord of your life, He has authority to call you to go and make disciples. That's the mission to which Christ has called us. But He doesn't leave us there. He ends with a word of comfort. Cause, command, and comfort. This word of comfort is, and remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We are promised the presence of Christ, even through those difficult times where we're not sure what the way forward is, even through those difficult times where we're not sure how we got here or why. We are promised the presence of Christ. So, you could say it like this, Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go make disciples. He will be with us. Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He'll be with us. So we're going to say that together. It's that bottom line right down there. Ready? Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He will be with us. That's what's going on in this passage. He's Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He'll be with us. I remember Ann and I going for seminary. When we went, we were called to go again. We had teaching jobs, so we leave two jobs and benefits and all that. Move 8 hours away from family in order to go to seminary so that I could enter pastoral ministry. Because we're called to go, which takes us to uncomfortable places like Kentucky, which actually ended up being pretty nice, but it's you're called to go. Like when we were called to go, I remember the trip down. We were moving down to Kentucky. And my car broke down on I-75. Well, more accurately, the transmission blew out, which allowed me to drive in maybe first or second gear on I-75, which meant I could, you know, if I got it going really good, maybe do about 45 miles an hour. Now, this may surprise you, but the people on I-75 were not as patient as I had hoped with a car going that slow. And so we had to pull the car over, leave it by the side of the off an exit. Take stuff out of my car, pack it into the rest of the caravan that was heading down, go down there, find the duplex we'd rented out, shove all of our stuff into a duplex. Our parents loaded up and left, and Ann and I are standing on the porch as our parents drove away, 8 hours away to go back to Michigan. We thought, oh my gosh, what did we get into? Like, what are we doing? Is this the right way to go? When you go, you will find challenges. And when you go, you're going to find yourself in a spot where you're not sure. You're just kind of out there on the edge. You're not sure. It feels like that support has been kind of cut. And I'm sharing this with you because I'm not that different from you. I've been a pastor for almost 9 years now. I was a parishioner for 30 years. it's still not that long ago that I was sitting where you're at now. I wasn't born behind the pulpit. I know you speak so well, it seems like you were. I know, right? But I wasn't born back here. I used to be there. In fact, I've spent more of my life where you're at than I have up here. And I'm a firm believer because of that, that if I have to struggle with something, you should too, right? Because we're not that different, you and I. And so if I have to ask in my life what it means for me to go, dang it, so do you. Because we are all Christians together. I'm not any more special than you. I just have a different part in the body of Christ. We are all Christians, and Jesus commands all of us to go. It doesn't say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore Jesus looked at all the pastors and said, go. It doesn't say that. He was speaking to his disciples. And since I have to wrestle with this go, so do you. We are called to go. You're called to go. Because Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He will be with us. Seminary was this transition. It had its challenges, but I will testify to this. God was faithful. Christ was with us. And it ended up being a very powerful and just a great time and season for us. It wasn't without its sacrifices. It absolutely had its sacrifices. But God was faithful and God was with us. Jesus promised his presence with us, and that was absolutely the case. So you guys are called to go as well. You're called to go. For most of you, it probably doesn't mean that you're supposed to move, at least physically. But you are called to go out of your comfort zone. You are called to go to your neighbor and to your community. And if you listen, you'll find that God is calling you to go places you don't necessarily want to go. But Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He will be with us. So what is Jesus calling you to? I mean, I mean it when I say it. I shouldn't have to wrestle with the struggle alone. You need to wrestle with this. What is Jesus calling you to? We are both Christians, you and I. We all have to struggle with this. What is Jesus calling you to? Where is Jesus pushing you out of your comfort zone saying, go? Because God loves your neighbor. God loves this person. God loves these people. He wants to set them free. Where is Jesus calling you? Going can be tough. These past few months have been very hard. Last week was brutal. It was wonderful because it was like 6 years of relationship building and all that stuff that was celebrated, but it was also brutal. I've been with you folks through some stuff, and we've grown, and we've grown together, and we've learned to trust each other and to love each other. I've been to marriages and funerals, and we've eaten together and just laughed together and cried together. We've had some significant time together, which is what has made saying goodbye so difficult. I've actually thought about that a lot. I thought, you know, it really stinks to say goodbye. I don't like it. But on the other hand, I really appreciate that it's hard. Like, it's probably good it wasn't easy. Like, oh, okay, yeah, get out of here. You know, like, it's good. It's hard because we've got something that is meaningful. So this going for me is difficult. But Jesus didn't promise that life would be easy. In fact, in one of the verses that God used to change my life, in John 16:33, Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, I tell you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll find trouble, but fear not, for I've overcome the world. In this world you'll find trouble. Jesus didn't promise us that life would be easy. But Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples. He will be with us. And I am at a point in my life where I am being called to go again. You know how I feel about you. I love you. You're my congregation. I thank you for the love you've shown me, love you've shown my family. You've been a place for me to grow and to develop as a pastor. You know how I feel about you. But I also need you to know this, and I think if you know me, you know this. When I set foot in St. John's, I'm on the attack. I'm out to convert the city of St. John's, and it's already named St. John, so it's already got a good start, right? It's after St. John's the Apostle, so we're already on a good start. There are people in St. John's that God loves and that Jesus needs to set free, and my heart's going to be out to get those folks. I mean, God has put me there, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go to lead that church to the best of my ability. And it's that calling that Jesus has placed on my heart that drives me to do this. It's because I was once lost and now I'm found. I was once imprisoned to sin and now I've been set free. That Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And that message has utterly shaped and changed my life. And I can't do anything but to share that. And God, if God's going to put me there, then that's where I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And know this, that you folks have shaped who I am and helped me to be able to do that better. And I'm carrying that with me. But as I go, I've got a job to do. People need Jesus because Jesus is Lord. He commands us to go and make disciples and He'll be with us. I have a job to do, but you have a job to do as well. I've already told you, you know, the mission of this church is too important to this community to let it drop. People here need Jesus Christ. People here in this community need to hear about Christ and need to know and to be set free and all that stuff. But not only that, I want you to think about this. You are sending a pastor out in me, you're sending another pastor out in Gerald, and you're sending us out as people who have been shaped by your time, by your love, and by your community here. So you can do that. You know you can do that. Not only are you sending a pastor out, but God is sending a pastor to you. God is sending a pastor to you. Ed is coming from three churches to this one church. I already told you that when I came here, I was told, Andy, you have three churches. We were three churches, but now we are one church. The guy who's coming from three churches to one church is coming to the church that was three churches, but now is one church. Is that a coincidence? Or maybe Jesus is Lord. Maybe God's doing something here. You know, we've worked in the last 6 years on loving each other, right? We've worked on that, on not only unity, but how to love each other and love each other well and support each other and that sort of stuff. We've spent a lot of time, and God has been shaping us in this community to help us do that better and better and better, to love each other. And Ed and his girls need you to love them. They need your love and your support. It's hard being a pastor and pastor's family, and it's hard to be the new guy. And they need you to love them. But think about this. The very thing that God has been shaping you to be able to do is the very thing that He needs when He gets here, right? You've been working on loving each other, and the very thing that God has been developing in you is the very thing He's going to need when He walks through these doors. Is that a coincidence? Or is Jesus Lord? Jesus is Lord. He calls us to go and make disciples, and He'll be with us. The truth is that this call to go and make disciples, for you as a church, one of the things that go means right now is to go into a different season of your lives. You're to go into a new season, into a new leadership, but just into a new season. It may be a new season, but it's the same Lord. It's the same mission. Don't forget you've got that mission. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. And as you go because Jesus tells you to, because He's your Lord, but you also go knowing that Jesus will be with you always, even until the end of the age. So that's the last of my notes. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be able to preach to you these last 6 years. I was thinking about it, it's almost 300 sermons for those of you who have been brave of heart. Yeah. I almost thought about starting off that I didn't do this way, because I almost thought about saying, a lot of pressure today, I've only got one sermon left to cure some of you pagans out there, but I didn't. it's been a pleasure, it really has. Thank you for that. It's been a pleasure to wrestle through the Word of God with you. But of all that I've said and all that I've gone through, I really want you to remember the right answer in church is Jesus, and the right answer outside of church is Jesus, that there are people who need Jesus Christ. And that's, if you could take one thing from my time here, just to take it, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And that's what you're called to share. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ by baptizing and teaching all that he's taught us. May we be that church. We'll be in different places, but may we be that church. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.